Well, today I titled what we're sharing, The New Normal. How many of you have heard that expression? I know you have, the new normal. And it's a pretty powerful expression because the new normal can be so far removed from God, and people think that as you're born into it, this is what I've always seen as a child. I was born into this. As I look around me and I see things, and this is the way it is, and this is normal for me. But for those who have been born in generations before that, that didn't experience that, such as the freedom of speech through our music today, what is normal to what these kids are listening to is abomination. What my understanding is from the Word of God, it's abomination. And I see it proliferating. It's out of control. The freedom of speech expressed through rapping or music. I'm not talking about Hollywood. No. I'm just talking about the music right now. And I looked over just recently. I was stopped at a light or something. I just looked over, and the music was loud. And I just looked over, and the person was just... You could see their lips singing the words coming from the song. And it was horrible. It was horrific. And the person was just, it's just like, hey, this is normal. This is what has been approved by our society. This is what I'm living in. This is what I like. This is what my friends like. This is what we do. But the lyrics are just horrific. And I'm not going to repeat them. But it's approved through freedom of speech. Doesn't there come a time when a country or the rule of a nation says enough is enough? This is too much. This new normal is abnormal. This new normal is abomination. We better get on our knees. That's the normal that God wants. Way back to what God intended from the beginning was man to serve and worship God and to honor God. And as he put Adam and Eve into the garden, I want you to till the garden. I want you to live here. I want you to enjoy this forever. And then so we know we have the fall of man through deception. The new normal, how about you? Are you experiencing what I'm saying? What is scary about listening to what I listen to in the music and have no reaction? Like, so? It's their right. It's cool. Or whatever. That's scary when we don't have a reaction to it, when we don't feel the darkness, the presence of evil. And so when our young generations, or our new babies right now, are born into that, now Adeline is here in this world, and she will be 3 April the 19th? May the 19th. She'll be 3 already. And so here she is being raised by a godly mother with a godly influence and having Sunday school lessons that are godly and in the presence of God and all day long in the presence of people who love the Lord. She's in our house or Linda's house or anywhere else around godly people, and that is so, so important. But not all children have that, do they? And I know our teachers see that in schools. They come out of environments of homes that are just so broken, so dysfunctional, and terrible situations, and they come with their attitudes from those homes, and the world wants the teachers to teach them, but we've got a real discipline problem. So but that's normal, teacher. Handle it. You know, well, it may be normal in your home, but that's not normal for me, and that's not what I believe, and that's not my philosophy or worldview of how this world should be. So we're guided by the Spirit of God based upon God's Word. The new normal. Wow. It's pretty scary, pretty concerning. And it's my desire to, any opportunities I have in my life, is to share with people, wake up. This new normal is going somewhere. This new normal of a disobedience to God is going somewhere. Where do you think disobedience is going to go? What does disobedience hatch? What does disobedience procreate? What does disobedience impregnate? What happens as a result of disobedience? What do you have as a product of disobedience?
Sin?
Death. Sin? Death? More disobedience, because that's what it begets. Disobedience begets disobedience. And so the cycle, it gets worse. unless there's a change, unless there's a repenting. God, we have gone so far, we've far removed from what you have designed here. And there's still hope that way. But it seems to be that there are a few that are taking God up on the life that Jesus gave, that we can have a new life. And so I want to touch on a couple things first before we get into the scriptures about what happened there in Acts with the Paul at Athens. But turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. Pretty profound statement here in Genesis chapter 6 about what was going on in society at that time. Once again, we've titled our sharing today, The New Normal. We'll get right to it in Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 5. How many of you know that God sees everything? Nobody is getting away with anything today. Nobody. No matter if you've been deprived, if people have wrongfully taken things that belong to you, or done things that were wrongful in your life, nobody is getting away with anything. In verse 5 of Genesis 6, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How many of you know that when you think something, quite often you're intending on doing something with that thought? So that's why it's expressed that way. It says that the every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I want to say something about continually. I do work in the world of horticulture and see plants and as such that are healthy, and I also see plants that are diseased. And I want to share something about what we're talking about, because it applies to humans as well. It's the very same pathology that applies, the principles of plants applies to people. I want to give you a definition of what is a plant disease, and it'll make a lot of sense what we just said here in scriptures. A plant is diseased when its chemistry or structure has been altered in a continuous way. And we just read in scriptures where the heart and the intent of the thoughts of man's, the heart of men, was only evil continuously. So what we're talking about here is a disease. A plant is diseased, or a person is diseased, when its chemistry or his or her chemistry or structure has been altered in a continuous way. That's what a disease is. This definition tells us that a leaf pulled off a tree is not a disease, but instead an injury, because the alteration is not continuous. That's simple. You rip a plant, you rip the foliage, you pull the leaf off. It's not diseased, but it's been injured. Rachel has been injured. I understand she knows the Lord, and she appreciates prayers on her behalf. Rachel's the one. Debbie, I don't know if you remember or not, she was pulled off in New York on the side of a road, on an exit, out of the way, had a fender bender with someone. They were talking about it. Somebody came along and hit those cars, those people, and Rachel lost her leg. And so Rachel is not diseased. Rachel has not been altered in a continuous way. She's been injured. Let me ask you, if you should be caught in a lie, and you just flat out know it's a lie. You told a lie, and God told you by His Spirit, you just told a lie. Like I said last week, one of my guys said to the other guy, I can't tell a lie, and the other guy said, you just told one. So, okay. So, we're going to lie, because God says that every man is a liar. It's very highly possible that there's a great possibility that we could be telling a lie at any given time, for whatever reason. We might call it a little white lie, or my mother never used to say lie. She said, are you storing? Did you tell a story? Mom is so sweet. Did you just tell a story? And she never did say, did you just lie? You know? And so sometimes calling people a liar is very offensive, and you almost get shot for it. You calling me a liar? I ain't no liar. You know? Boom, boom, boom. And so we're going to get injured. But it doesn't mean we're diseased. We may tell a lie, but it doesn't mean we're a liar. You may not keep an appointment that you should have kept. No reason not to. But for some reason, you just didn't, whatever, you didn't feel like it. It doesn't mean that you habitually do not keep appointments because you didn't keep one appointment. But if you are always telling lies, if you never keep appointments, if you're always talking about people or against people, if you're always grumbling, if you're always doing those things, and that is who you are, that's your character, then you are a liar. Why? Because you always tell lies. The trouble with telling lies is sometimes you forget what lie you told, and it gets hard how to defend that lie that you told, that you know you told, and it gets confusing. Isn't that encouraging to know that you're a Christian, you love the Lord, and you haven't been altered in a continuous way, although you do get injured? Isn't it encouraging to know that God loves you, He's still going to work on you, and it's no excuse to continue to do or to tell a lie or a white lie or whatever you want to call it once in a while, whatever. It's still not okay with God for us to do that, but isn't it wonderful and encouraging to know that God loves us and He's working on that in our life? He's putting the pieces together. Isn't that encouraging? Someone recently was sharing with me how they were faced with a situation over insurance issues, and they told the people, and they just outright, that a certain thing was so, but it wasn't. It tore them up. They hated it. I mean, it just really tore them up. And I hope that's true with you. I hope every single time that you would say something or do something or have animosity towards somebody, I hope it just eats you up. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He convicts you. He's the paraclete. He's called along beside us, but not only beside us, but inside of us. The Spirit of God is there to prick us, to, hey, you know, that ain't what I want out of you. We got better things to do here. Have you been injured lately? Anybody been injured lately? Sometimes Shirley will say things to me. It's injurious to me. She didn't mean anything by it, but it could be injurious to me. And sometimes I'll say something to her, injurious. And I don't mean it. It's just that whatever. Things in our life are kind of there, crouching to bite. But it's not who I am, and it's not how I'm going to live. Unless I choose to live that way every day. You ever snapped at anybody? You ever drew blood? Had a dog the other day. A lady was introducing the dog to me, one of my clients. Real nice lady. And Dexter was her dog. And old Dexter is sitting right here beside her. But she says, you got to kind of watch him, because if you reach your hand out and you move too quickly, or if you move back, he'll kind of snap like. And so sure enough, I just reached down slowly, moved my... I felt his teeth brush against my leg. That's all. He didn't draw blood. It's just like... She said, now, Dexter, that's not what we're going to do, you know. So she brought out a little can of something. He says, he doesn't like this. So she's training him. So God is training us. Sometimes we get close, but we didn't draw blood. But sometimes the attitude is there. It didn't draw blood, but the attitude is there. It's not that that's who we are. It's just that sometimes situations, Dexter the dog, whatever it was, he's got to be trained not to do that. We got to be trained not to do that. And so this is so powerful. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Wickedness was great. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How would you like to be living in a generation like that? Wow. How'd they get that way? I mean, it all started out great in the garden, you know, of Eden. And Adam and Eve had everything they wanted. They were deceived. They fell. And Satan's influence is there. So a little while later, you got all kind of stuff going on. Away, 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 further away from the Lord. You get further away from the light, it gets what? It gets darker. And it doesn't happen overnight. Little by little, step by step, we get away from what we know is right. And so, a plant is diseased, a person is diseased, Mark can be diseased when the chemistry or structure has been altered in a continuous way. Don't beat yourself up if you get injured. That's not a disease. Because it's going to happen. And in the case of plant diseases, a microorganism such as a fungus, a bacterium, or virus, on the other hand, enters a plant and continues to deprive the plant of nourishment. Today, I believe with all my heart, this world is getting a serious deprivation of the nourishment of the living God. Because they're worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. I see this all over again. History kind of goes in cycles at times. But I see a world right now that's getting pretty bold against what God is going to do about this. My brother called me from Montana recently. He got a take it home when the world's attitude, I think it was a take it home for last week perhaps, where there was an expression there about ain't going to happen. What God says ain't going to happen. My brother read that and he says, Mark, he says, wow, I read that. And he said, that's what they're doing. That's what they're saying. And just recently, once again, I saw two teenage girls walking down a sidewalk just holding hands like this is the new normal. The new normal. The kids at school see it. They talk about it. It's the new normal. And don't dare say anything to them that that is wrong in the sight of God because we're getting into hate crimes. This is where this is all going. They're wanting to vet what is coming out of the pulpits, what people can say. But when you get into the world of hate crimes, you know, you're getting to some stuff where you can get locked up. The new normal. And this is what Adeline will see. She will see guys embracing. She'll see girls embracing. She'll see and hear all kinds of horrible lyrics coming out of music and songs. And you may not think our young kids, you might think that, you know, they go to school and they come home. But when they go to school and in between school and on the bus or wherever or walking down the sidewalk, they're hearing things. They're seeing things. And that is, to them, it may be normal everyday occurrences, but it's not the way that God intended it. And so, in the case of what was going on here in Genesis, what happened? God says, basically, this is going to stop, and it did, and only eight people. At that time, on the earth, there were a lot of people, only eight people entered the ark, and who closed the door? We know it was God who closed the door of the ark and instructed Noah how to build the ark. Wow. That's pretty serious. When only eight people were saved at that time. Now it seems like we're starting the process all over again. I mean, just, we read about it. We know it's true. We know that if you get away from God, you disobey God, you're going to reap what you sow. Very simple, very powerful. You reap what you sow. Wow. Deprivation of nourishment is what I see when I see
if two girls are holding hands or embracing, or two guys, deprivation of the nourishment of God due to their own will wanting it that way. Because God says they know right and wrong. It continuously alters normal functions of the plant. Normal functions of the plant. A disease. And your normal functions of worshiping and serving God and being patient with people and long-suffering and patient and all the fruit of the Spirit, temperance and all the things associated with the fruit of the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, patience, and all those things, those are deprived because you're not really looking to the Lord to receive those things because you don't like who's standing in front of you. Or you don't like the situation that you face. You don't like it right now, so you're going to disengage a continual nourishment by the Spirit of God to do what you want to do. And after you do it, as a Christian, you hate it. But time out right now, God, time out. I don't like this. The guy did my breaks. I'm taking it back to where he guarantees the breaks. And yet right now he says, well, the warranty is void because of whatever. I drove it through water or whatever. You know, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. But we know they're playing games. We know it should be one. But they're not. So right now, time out, God. You know, you want to do something physically to this individual or you want to say something verbally to this individual. Time out. And there's where we can't do that. We can't take time out to do what we want to do. We need to be nourished in a continuous way in this world on this earth. In the world where people don't want to do that, you're going to end up with people who are continually doing the deprivation things and deprived of the Spirit of God, the nutrition from the Spirit of God. And you're going to end up the world as pretty rough, which is what we see. We see it politically. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in our daily life. Wow. I know, Debbie, you saw a lot of things while you were locked up for a little while here. You saw a lot of things. You saw society coming in there. And you see some people that are sincere as well. The lack of normal functions over a period of time results in a plant with undesirable symptoms. Plain, pure, and simple. Have you ever had undesirable symptoms because what's been going on is going on too long? Away from God too long? Away from the nourishment of God too long? Little Adeline, she expects to eat every day. And we feed her every day. No problem. It's just whatever's nutritious for her, we strive to do. We don't give her, you know, things that are detrimental to her. But once in a while, she likes her little treats. You know, so there's a balance there. And so, you cannot continue, though, to be deprived of the Spirit of God, or there will be undesirable symptoms. And I see that in our society today. That's what this is all about. The new normal, to me, is not acceptable. So what do we as a church, what do we do as Christians on this earth with undesirable symptoms all around us? Are we going to do what we can do to travel to Hollywood or California or approach our Supreme Court to change lyrics and music? You know, and there are efforts to do all those things. But me personally, I can't do anything about that personally, but I can have a voice to say this is not right. And then you can write or you can call your politicians and your representatives to do something about it. Many people are. But I'm just saying if that's where people want to go, they're going to make every effort they can to protect their freedom of speech to continue to write such horrific lyrics in the music that we hear and also produce movies that have horrific scenes that are not acceptable either. So here we are in a world with unacceptable attitudes. And so was Noah. So was Noah. Continual debauchery, continual deprivation. Every thought and intent of the heart of man was evil continuously. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's pretty bad. But I see the snowball picking up momentum in my life toward a life that is against an anti-Christ attitude. I see that. I see it in our laws. I see it in people. I see it in our schools. And it is in our face. And the reason that I feel such a stirring to say something about this today is, what does it do for us?
then what's the conclusion? What am I to do, Lord? You know, here am I. Send me. Send me where? Send me in my daily life to make a difference wherever I go, wherever I am, in my home, my work, my play, wherever I am, my shopping, wherever I go, to make a difference in this world by looking to the Lord what He would want to do, however He would choose to use me. That's the only thing you can do, but to pray to God to make a difference. I'm not in Mary's classroom. I'm not there. She is. I need to be praying for her to be successful in the classroom. You know? But that's what we need to do. We need to strive to be the man or the woman God called us to be where we are in this world that is not real Christ-friendly. And there are millions of people that love the Lord, don't get me wrong. But overall, when you're talking about, 300 billion people now? I can't comprehend that the earth, the estimated population of the earth is like 300 billion people. I can't comprehend that. Where are all those people? Where? How do they fit? You know, but it's a big world. That's a lot of people. How many really know the Lord? How many have a relationship with Jesus Christ that are really walking this daily, that are not deprived of the nutrition from the Spirit of God, that are really walking this life, and that are not diseased? Getting injured, but not diseased. Just a handful? When you're talking about per capita, probably just a handful out of 300 billion. When we lose something, we really treasure it, don't we, Debbie? When we... only you know what you feel. Only you know what you're going through to walk in here and to be free from where you were for however period of time. Only you know the jubilation, the emancipation, the feeling of that. And I thank God that you're able to spend some time with us today and for however long that we can do that. But one way or the other, God's going to take care of you, and I know you know that. And I want us to share, if you to turn... that my point here in Genesis was just that, how iniquity was abounding and how we have a disease situation. You don't have an injurious situation here in Genesis. You have disease. Their attitude was altered in a continuous way, different from an injury. And if you would, turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 really addresses the situation of our day today, and also a heads up for those who are believers today of what we may be facing. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom. I solemnly charge you. And we go on to say that He will appear and His kingdom will appear. And anyone that is a Antichrist or a doubter of the Lord and His plan for mankind needs to pay attention, because he that says he is coming will come, and he will appear, and nothing is going to stop that, not even Satan or the gates of hell. He's going to charge him in verse 2 to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. In season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. What does it mean to you about being instant in season and out of season? What does that mean to you? Make it relative to our world today. The Lord made it clear to them. He makes it clear for us today. What does it mean to you? Instant in season and out of season. All the time, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. And sometimes we like to respond to things that are convenient and not inconvenient. But whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we need to be instant in season and out of season, no matter the circumstances. Have you ever faced that in your life? Anyone?
You know what can be very stressful? Let me give you an example of something being very stressful and trying to be. Only God sees the secrets of a man's heart or a woman's heart when they're going through something. To be having to go somewhere, such as I quite often do in the morning, and to be in the kitchen and have a glass container or a ceramic container or a bowl or something and have it drop on the tile floor and scatter into 1,000 pieces, so to speak, and have to clean that up because we have a child in the home that's coming later. I have a wife in the home and I have myself. So every single piece has to be cleaned up, and it's not convenient. I mean, it goes everywhere. It is everywhere. On the runner, on the carpet, you take it out in the road and you have to shake it off. You have to have everything secure before you leave. But everything within me says, I don't have time to do this. And so the Lord is watching the attitude of the heart. It's not convenient to stop and clean all that up. And nobody did it. Oh, nobody caused it but me. It was on purpose, of course. Who wants to break something and have to clean all it slipped out of my hand, or I thought I put it on the shelf as I turned my face and didn't have it quite on the counter. It fell off and it broke into 1,000 pieces and it all has to be picked up. I cannot imagine. For some reason, myself personally, or how about you, if you were in a situation, have our table set up here with our puzzle on it. You know where I'm going with that. And for some reason, be standing by the table, standing up on the table, and we got all the border, and we're starting to work on the middle, and all of a sudden, I turn around, or I have a brain failure of some kind, or I bump the table spills, and all the pieces, except for maybe two or three, it's all spilled. I think that at that time, it would be a good time to be instant out of season. Oh, we're all happy. We see it coming together. We already got. Shirley did a little math thing about how many pieces we got. And it's like maybe 20% or something like that. I think I'd be speechless. I'd say, I'm sorry, gang. But would you love me?
Yes, probably not.
See, it would be the same for me to be instant. Looking to the Lord then, as it would be for you to love me for what I did. That's a good one, isn't it? Mark, I love you, but what an idiot, man.
How could you do that? How could you be so irresponsible to do something like, and you can go on forever about it, but it's done. What's done is done. It is what it is.
And so precious Rachel being hit, it cost her the lower part of a leg, and the person who did it can just weep and weep and weep for the rest of their life. Or they can get it straightened out with the Lord, and Rachel could just also weep over the loss of a limb. And also have such animosity over how could you do that? How could you do what you did to me? And you just go on and live your life that way and die that way. Or you can look to the Lord, be immersed in His mercy, be baptized in His mercy, His forgiveness, and rise up out of the ashes to live a life and go on. How can someone such as Paul, being responsible for the murder, the death of so many Christians before he came to know the Lord, and still be one of them later, knowing what he did? I thought about that last night when I laid my head down. I said, Lord, how? It's just amazing. I know that I was responsible for the death of all these people, and Stephen himself, as we read, and his face shone like the face of an angel, and yet I'm responsible for his death, and now I'm one of them. And so what did Paul do? What do we read about what Paul did? He went on to live his life. I forget that which is behind, and I press on for the high calling of the Lord. That's how he did it. It's God's mercy. I had a brother one time say to me, and I met with him at 12 o'clock at night. My heart was so stirred. I said, I just got to share something with you, my brother. And I did, my physical brother. He said, "You don't know what I've done." I said, "I don't care what you've done. I'm sharing with you what Jesus will do in your life." It was awesome. He gave his heart to the Lord many years ago. So, instant in season and out of season, I hope that you're experiencing that instead of not knowing what we're talking about right now. Because the only way you're going to experience it is if you're faced with this adversity in your life, these calamitous things that happen in your life. The only way you're going to know whether you're instant or not is if you experience them, and I can't keep you and God won't keep you from those experiences. But it will change you into the image of Jesus. It'll transform you if you look to Him in those times. It will. You'll be a different person. You'll be saying things. You say, "Hey, I can't believe what I just said, because I know before I wouldn't be talking that way. I'd be letting it rip." I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Here it is in verse 3. Somebody want to read that for us, please, loud and clear. Verse 3 is very powerful.
"For the time will come when men will not put up with the sound of sound of doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear."
In verse 4.
"Then they will turn their ears away from the truth and truth aside to myths."
Wow. Wow. In verse 5.
"But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of evangelists, discharge all the duties of your ministry."
Wow. I got the New American Standard. Ted, what is that, NIV?
Yeah.
"And for the time will come when they will not endure or put up with sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you," who he's talking to the church, "be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And you know what? I wouldn't dare go up to Rachel and say, "Buck up. This is hard, honey, but buck up. Get a life." That would be horrible. She is trying to buck up, and she is trying to get a life, and she is trying to do this and work her way through this, but God's mercy abounds. I believe with all my heart, for every difficult and hard thing that we go through, God will raise up a standard for you to be able to be successful to do it. Christy, I don't think you know the fullness of how much you really blessed me with your attitude, what you got to go through, what you've been through, and what you're about to finish up doing what you've been through. It's just amazing. I mean, it's not real common. But I thank God to enable you to do it. And in the meantime, it changes our life. Golly, what God is doing. You know? But I just want you to know what a blessing to see you go through a process of something that a very high percentage of people fail. It's awesome. And so I don't laugh at anybody else's or take lightly what you may be going through. It's very real. Very, very powerful. When I saw you with your scalp, with the cancer, I peeked a couple times. I don't like doing that kind of dressing. When Linda was back there dressing it up and take you in the back and stuff, it took a while. But they dug down in your scalp pretty deep. That was an injury. That was not a disease that continued to ravage her body. We're going to get injured. And your attitude during that time, I don't know if you ever wanted to see it or not, and take a mirror and stuff like that. She would, but I don't think you did you?
Yeah, I did.
You did. That's tough.
I didn't do it after I did it the first time. I did it again.
Yeah, I don't like that. Somebody else, you just take the wound and debris it and stuff, but I don't want to look. But Shirley will sit there in the dental chair and she'll just get a mirror and say, "Now, what are you going to do?" You know? I say, "Golly, Shirley. Crack me up. I like what Ted said, NIV. It said something about, how does it say, discharge your ministry in the last part there?
Discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Discharge all the duties of your ministry. How y'all doing? How's the discharge going on? Y'all doing okay? And you're doing everything God shows you to do, or you're being more successful? Less of you, more of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you experiencing that? And that's what we need to preach. That's what the Bible preaches. Are you becoming Christ-like more so than what you were? Are you growing? God is going to enable. God is going to put the pieces together. It may not make sense at times. Have no idea how this is. It doesn't make sense. You know, I'm a fifth grade teacher, right? Normally, sixth?
I did fifth.
Fifth. And now I'm teaching first grade. It just, what are you doing to me? And so it's not man that manipulates us so much. But if God is involved, God will use maybe something that they have intents to harm you, but God will use it for your good. It may not make sense, but as we look to the Lord, it'll all come out in the wash. And I thank God, Mary, that you had the attitude, I'm just going to keep looking to the Lord. God has plans for us. God has a future for us. Plans for welfare, not for calamity. To give us a what? F-U-T-U-R-E. A future and a hope. That's what we have, Christy. That's what we have in Jesus. A future and a hope. No matter what's been done, because now I've got this and I've done that, and it's on the record forever and ever. I'm going to go apply for jobs. Joseph goes through this whole process. It's the end of the world. What good is anything now? I've got a record. He says, nobody's going to hire me. Nobody's going to, who wants me? And God says, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. As an employer, I've hired people who've had problems with law and stuff, and they come to me, I say, look, where are you now? I don't hold anything against you in the past. Where are you now? We can do something here if you want, but it's up to you. As an employer, there's a lot of employers that way. And they don't care about all the, you know, and I know there's certain government agencies that it's the law, that's the way it is. But for many people who are looking to the Lord or just decent people, they don't look at the past. They want to know what's going on right now. And that's how I was with my students at Chamberlain. I said, look, you may have a little tough at home, but what about right now? This is between you and I. Where are we going to go right now? I'm not your mom. I'm not your dad. What is going on right now with what you want to do? And so we go from there. And so I don't know if you know this or not. Some of you may know about this, but University of South Florida has a pretty good record in basketball. They've won more games in the Big East they've ever won before, and they were in a game the other night against Notre Dame, and I didn't see the game, but I heard all about it. And USF truly, truly, truly should have won the game, and. With 40-something seconds left, USF had a guy that was wide open. And most of you know about basketball. You know what a layup is? You know what a layup is? A layup is the basket's right there and you're right here. All you got to do is lay it up. It's the easiest shot in the world. It's the easiest shot you're going to ever have. Uncontested, no guard, nobody blocking you or anything. I'm not talking about a layup with somebody defending you. But he was a breakaway, fast break, and he had the opportunity to make a layup to put them in the position to win the ball game. And he went up uncontested and he missed. It's like Mark spilling the puzzle. The coach who got Coach of the Year, Stan Heath from the University of South Florida, got Coach of the Year, and all the other players, how do you, it's a team, and one of your team members just flat messed up. Bad. How do you think, two things, he himself messed up. Now, what's their attitude toward him? See, the Lord sees us miss a lot of layups. You should have, by all means, go out here at practice and try to do a layup. Uncontested, you'll make 1,000 out of 1,000. But in that particular time, you missed. I'm the coach of the year. Our team is, this is Notre Dame, man. If we win, we're going to be going on an automatic, most likely automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. Now it's up in the air. I don't know if they got it or not. I have to read in the paper today. But anyhow, how many layups have you missed? And you should have made them. There is therefore what?
now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, that's the message of God's Word. No condemnation, no going to the past of what you did, what you could have, should have, would have. This is now. But we are living in a society that is very, very, very vulnerable to losing it all by shunning Jesus Christ and God's way for them to live, and the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, a way that God has laid out through them, for them through Christ Jesus. God, they're messing with eternal life here. We're living in society right now that where they are not enduring sound doctrine, and they don't want to hear it, and they're accumulating teachers to teach them what they want to hear. So, church, Christians, how then should we live? What do you think? We got a situation I think is pretty serious. We have a lot of people love the Lord, but majority don't. And as far as the total picture, how should we live? What does it do to you in your heart? This is the Word of God I'm sharing. It's not my opinion. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. They didn't in Genesis. They didn't also in Exodus. And they didn't here in Athens, in Greece, when Paul visited them. They were idolatrous, as you see in your handout today. And the bottom line to all that idolatrous stuff was Paul's message to them. He told them, you better repent because this is going south. This is not going anywhere. You got to repent because Jesus is coming to judge the world, and he will take with them those who have put their faith in him. Those who haven't will be separated as the wheat is from the chaff, and there will be eternally separated into a place called hell as opposed to heaven. And so, may there be a stirring in our hearts to gird our loins. Gird up your loins for action. Take the belt and you gird it up. In those times they wore their long robes, you know, and before they would participate in athletic games, they have to get rid of the robe. Or if you're going to do something physically and work, you got to take that robe and tuck it up into your loin belt. You know, so you won't trip. Gird up your loins for action. So, do y'all sense this is a message from the Lord to where we've got to take it up a notch? Pull our belts up a notch. We can do this. But it's going to have to be in God's strength because we can't love the way He wants us to love. We're too impatient with one another. Even our own loved ones and people around us, we get impatient. But God wants us to endure. He wants us to grow and change. And that's what metamorphosis is all about, is change. Change, change, change. I want to say again before we close today, you love the Lord, and sometimes you mess up. It's an injury. Don't let it become a disease. Because I want to say this, a lot of times if you bruise a plant, if you cause an opening or a wound in a plant, the pathogen, whether it be a fungus, a virus, or a bacteria, will enter the wound. And Mr. Parsons, I know you came in and we did surgery, but somehow the pathogen, a virus, got into your wound, or a bacteria or a fungus, and caused some serious problems. We're going to have to go back in there and cut that out. And sorry, but that's what happened. How many of you know an injury can be an injury and you can scab over it and heal it up? Or sometimes it's an opening. It's an open door for the bad guys to come in. That's why we talk about washing and cleanliness and how important it is. But how many of you know that if you get wounded spiritually and you sulk in it and you stew in it, you've been injured, it can turn into
a disease by being a continuous thing, by traveling from one part of your body to another, metastasized or spread or whatever. And that's a serious thing. Cut it off. Cut it off at the pass. How about this scripture? Do not let the sun set. Let's say it together. Do not let the sun set on your anger or your wrath or your attitude. Praise the Lord. There's much more to be said, but that's going to conclude for today. Sharing about this new norm, make sure it's not a part of your life, that you stay true to God's norm, God's standard. That's what this is all about. Not the world's norm, but what God's norm is. And you got to keep referring back to Him, what He's talking about. And I want to share something with you too as we close. I just learned recently that in Tampa there's going to be several thousand international people coming here to United Methodist Church gathering, and in addition to the Republican Convention. I'm not referring to that, but they're going, the Methodist, United Methodist, is going to meet here in Tampa. Several thousand, they're going to meet from around the world. It's going to be an international thing. And I was sharing this with Shirley. They're going to be discussing a lot of issues in the church. And this person that was telling me this, he said one issue they're going to be discussing is the issue of homosexuality. Isn't it amazing that that should even have to be discussed? Yeah. See, why is it even being discussed? Like, what are we going to do about it? Well, there could be a big split here, because a lot of your churches have a lot of people who are of that persuasion, and they get to the church and they're there and people like them. They go to work and they do their mind own business and all that kind of stuff. And yet in the church, you can't go soft on the teaching that is wrong. You can't do that. And or even allow them to be ordained to be ministers, to minister to all the flock. God loves everybody. God does love everybody. Did God love everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, He gave them a chance to change, but they didn't do it. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Poof! You know? God does love it. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why Jesus is here. But will they? Yes. There will be a separation. And so, anyhow, I just wanted to share it with you, because why is it even an issue to discuss? And the person that told me, his pastor said, if that's an issue, he will draw the line for himself for sure. He is not going to approve anything such as that coming from him as their pastor. And so, good for him. And so, it's just plain, pure, and simple. There's a way for man to live. There's a way for man to have eternal life, and it's all through Jesus. If there's anyone listening to this message today, wherever you are, I pray that you will take to heart the Word of God, invite Jesus Christ into your life, that you may have life eternal. And you do that by simply saying, Jesus, forgive me for the sin of my life. Come into my life and change me, transform me, put the pieces together in my life, that I would be your child, a faithful child to you, true to you, and loving you all the days of my life, enabled by the Spirit of God through Christ Jesus. I pray you'll make that decision today. God bless you.